This is Fresh Air. This week, we're looking back on the decade that just ended and listening back to some of our favorite interviews of the past 10 years. Today, we're featuring some of our favorite performances. Our final one today is with pianist John Batiste, the music director at The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where he leads his band Stay Human. Batiste grew up in Kenner, Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans, and is part of one of the foremost music families in that region. He started playing with the family band when he was 8. He played drums back then. When he was 17, he moved to New York to attend Juilliard. We recorded this interview in 2018 when Batiste released his album Hollywood Africans. We started with a track from it, an original called Kenner Boogie. John Batiste, welcome to Fresh Air. I really love your playing, and I'm so grateful to you for being at the piano. So, I have to, this is a really corny, dumb question to ask a pianist, I know, but how do you do it? How do, like on Kenner Boogie that we just heard, how do you coordinate the left and right hands? They're doing such different things, and what they're doing is so complex. can you break down what each hand is doing?
Absolutely.
And can you include some of those really like rumbly left hand chords you've got going on there?
You got to.
Thank you.
I think the great thing about piano is that you can create this rhythmic momentum, and it propels you. It's like a drum, but you also have tones. So what I'm doing in my left hand is really creating the rhythm section effect of having a bass and a drum and maybe even a Barry sax down there tooting and rooting. So I'm getting this going. Or I'm doing something like, you know, like something you might hear Fats Domino or Lil Richard doing, and just really keeping that going down there. So while I got that happening in my right hand, I'm screaming, I'm wailing, I'm trying to figure out a way to make you feel what it is that I feel. And I can do that in many different ways. I can slide. I can cry. And I can even do a little bit of dancing. Let me do the dance one more time.
And some of the left hand playing that you have going on in that track is really kind of rumbly. Can you do some of the chords that you've included in that composition?
Well, sometimes the emotion overwhelms you and you have to growl. And there's something that I've kind of developed with my left hand that I really love when I get that feeling. It's like a growl of a lion. This. So I'll be playing, you know.
That's what I was talking about.
So, you know, you put them all together and, you know, it's like a gumbo. You put everything in the pot and in the moment, you just fly. You know, after you make your 100th vat of gumbo, you get a feel for where to place these things, and it's not really contrived. It just is a spirit in a moment that you follow.
So you grew up in Louisiana near New Orleans in Kenner. What were some of the most common rhythms? And you started as a drummer in your family's band. So what were some of the rhythms that you were taught to play as a drummer that helped guide you in your formative years as a pianist? Things that you transferred to piano.
Well, there's an African rhythm that is at the base of much of New Orleans music, and that's the Bambula rhythm. And before I even understood that I was being taught this rhythm, or that I was internalizing this rhythm, rather, I was. And it goes like this. It's you hear, oh, little Liza Jane. Oh, little Liza Jane. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. It's in so much of our repertoire. And me being the youngest drummer in my family at the time, there were four other drummers, my cousins. And not only was I learning the Bambula, but I was learning it from them. So I had four variations of it. So by the time I started really playing and getting to the piano, I had such a rhythmic approach to it that it's still with me today.
So do you want to translate that rhythm to something that you do at the piano?
Well, there's a piece on the album, Nocturne Number 1, and it has that rhythm.
Yeah, I love that piece.
Yes, it's really something that kind of takes that rhythm, but also my classical music training and love for the form and development of those sort of theme and variation, and kind of matches them up and creates what I like to call a gold mine. That's the rhythm it is.
I hear so much Monk in your playing. Again, not imitating him, but having kind of absorbed him and made it your own. Things I hear you doing that remind me of Monk is your use of dissonance, your use of kind of punctuation, your use of space, of letting things ring out and not filling it, and the kind of angularity of Monk. Mm-hmm. So can you play something of your own that incorporates the kinds of things we've been talking about?
Oh, absolutely. There's a piece that I recorded twice, and it's titled Red Beans, and it's a blues. And when you hear the melody, it has that rhyme and also that space and dissonance that's characteristic of Monk. But I never copy. I try to absorb, which is what I hope I've done with this piece.
That's great. Do you still listen to a lot of Monk?
I have a few people who I listen to regularly, I always come back to them, I'll say. I don't listen to Monk regularly, but I always come back to his music. Bach is another one. James Brown, Nina Simone. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, let's do a little contrast here. Some Bach and how that's influenced you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's so much there. I think that Bach is really the mysticism of music, spirituality of music, the depth of how he's able to be so systematic and logical, symmetrical at times, super symmetrical to the point of it almost being a musical game of sorts, yet it harboring such a depth of human feeling, the range of human emotions, and asking questions about the afterlife. I mean, the St. Matthew's Passion, I was listening to that maybe yesterday, a couple days ago. It's about 3 hours long. And just listening to that makes you realize what's possible. He's arguably the best at a thing that anyone's ever been in the history of doing a thing.
can you play an example of Bach that you think exemplifies both like the spiritual but also the kind of game-like aspect of it in its structure?
Oh my, you know, there's something in the Inventions, which, I mean, he's just chilling at home and he's like, it's tough out there in the streets, y'all, so kids, I'm gonna write you these inventions. And he writes these pieces that are among the most standard of the repertoire. If you're a classical pianist, you have to know these inventions. It was some of the first things I learned. And you research and find out he wrote these for his kids. So, but there are two voices, which I really enjoy. You know, there's that's the left hand and the right hand. And if you... And it's moving all of a sudden, but it's just two voices.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the simplicity of how he makes something that is just two melodies playing in conversation, asking questions, responding. Sometimes they're talking at the same time. Other times it's call and response. Sometimes it's in harmony. Sometimes there's dissonance. Just... that's life. That's our journey exemplified in a simple piece that he wrote for his kids. That's amazing.
What I sometimes do on the show when I'm talking to a musician who's doing a kind of musical autobiography is to ask them to redeem a song, to take a song that we wouldn't expect them to like that they do, or a song that we think of as square, too corny, too sentimental, a song beyond redemption, but that you love. So is there a song like that that comes to mind that you would like to redeem for us?
Well, I love Happy and You Know It. I really like that song.
Is this the children's song that you're talking about?
Yes.
Happy and You Know It.
If you're happy and you know it, clap those hands.
And why do you love this?
It's something that... I like about these kind of melodies, these kind of nursery rhymes, the children's melodies that are just so coherent, and they have a almost like the it's that question and answer thing that I just love in music that we were talking about earlier with Thelonious Monk. Of course, Monk is much more complex. But it's at the root of it, it's the same thing, which is why I think children can respond to it in such an intuitive way. This is kind of... and then... and that's it. Oh, I get it. Now, if you put a bass line on it, and some different harmonies on it, you can get a vibe like a... get some church on it, just bring out some of the emotions of it. And then when you play, you know, just I don't know. I like it. It's cool.
Oh, I like it now. I like what you did with it.
It's like, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands, Lord. If you're happy and you know it and you really want to show it, go on and show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Jean-Baptiste, you have been so wonderful. I am so grateful to you. Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your music, with us, and in general. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And till next time.
Jean-Baptiste, recorded in 2018. Today we featured a few of our favorite concerts we've done over the past decade. If you want to hear more Fresh Air concerts from the last decade or previous decades, it's easy at our new Fresh Air Archive site. You can find it at fresharchive.org.